Hey, Nashies, welcome back to Nashville here at AfterBuzz TV. It is season 6, episode 7, called Can't Help But Wonder Where I'm Bound. And I can't help but wonder, what the hell, Juliet? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Woo-hoo. All right, guys, welcome back Thursday night here at AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Nashville. I'm one of your hosts, JJ Juergens. You can follow me at JJ Juergens, and I'm joined here by...
Hello, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini. You can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV.
All right. Well, we got a few things to talk about this evening episode.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of drama, you could say, for sure, in this episode. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah. Let's start out by talking about the drama with the band.
Oh, my goodness. Boy drama. So,
yeah.
Well, we knew Will had his rage issues, and it was just a matter of time he was going to, like, bring it out on the band, mm-hmm. but really sabotaging every performance. Didn't think it would go there.
I didn't either, and especially since I thought it was great how she handled the interviews. We have the return of our favorite character here, Dick Brad, is back being his normal self, but, you know, trying to set up these interviews that could cause drama and mm-hmm. kind of steal her away, basically. But I liked how she handled it. Did you like how she handled it?
I loved how she handled it, and I think she, like, PR media training, and... Mm-hmm. We can safely assume that she didn't. But I think it's good. It just shows the character that she is and the person that she is. When she's like, well, I'm the lucky one. They're the ones who found me. She always brought it back to the band. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I feel there are so many people who be in that position and want to break off and have a successful career. We're totally, like, throw them under the bus. Yeah. Be like, yeah, I am the star out of everyone. But I like the fact that she brought it back to the band. She brought it back to the guys. Gave them credit gave credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. So... it's interesting, but knowing that Brad's involved, it seems like he has something over her, mm-hmm. like holding over her. Because that weird text message, when she's in the car and Brad's texting, is like, yeah.
He's starting his creepy stuff where he's going to, like, tempt her with, you know, shiny toys, cars, money, you know, mm-hmm. give her things that she hasn't had just to, like, start to kind of try to steal her away. And I think, I mean, let's talk about Gunner. Gunner can never just not, he just got to let it go.
He needs
to keep
his dick in his pants.
So I was going to go somewhere like that with that one. I was like, okay,
nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was like, come on. I do like them together. They're fun. Mm-hmm. But there was a moment where I was questioning it too, especially in this episode, where she was, like, totally kind of a bitch to him.
Yeah.
But do you think it was actually warranted?
Well, I just think Gunner is not cut out for this sort of situation. I don't think he's ever the casual guy, you know? So I think, and I get the sense that she would be totally fine with a casual relationship, no strings attached. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's not in his DNA to do that. So I feel like it's bound to, like, cause problems. Although, you know, part of it, There is something that I like in the sense that he was the one that was, you know, saying that too. And then she reminded him of that mm-hmm. when I did actually like that she didn't have to answer his questions, you know, when he was asking if, you know, but I don't know. I think that that's just too tough for Gunner. Like, that's, I want him with somebody where it's just more, you know,
Gunner's a monogamous type of dater. He always wants, like, a serious relationship after a serious relationship. Yeah, he's had his flings every once in a while, mm-hmm. but he's always the guy who'd be like, are we something more? Mm-hmm. He wants the serious relationship. It doesn't seem like she might be in that mindset or that mm-hmm. place in her life where she wants to settle down or have a good, steady boyfriend like Gunner could be. And I think she's right now, she's just focusing on her career.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about this ex situation? Do you think we're going to see this ex? Do you think he's going to...
Probably. Or do you think her ex was actually a pseudonym for Brad? Or be like, oh, yeah. This is my ex, but it was actually just a fib saying that this is Brad bothering me.
Oh, I didn't take... It could be. Yeah, I took it as it was actual an ex.
An ex.
Yeah. But
you never know. Okay, if it was an ex, it did show that Gunnar was somewhat jealous, though.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell. There was a lot of jealousy in this episode. A
lot of jealousy.
So much jealousy.
Yeah. All right, anything else on the band? I guess we'll see what they're...
I don't know. I think Alana's definitely questioning whether she should take a solo career or not, depending on who she goes with. If she really wants to tie herself to Brad, I think she's definitely questioning it.
Well, hopefully, if she, I mean, I can understand why she's questioning it because
He's a dick.
Well, that, and then on the other side too is because Will is clearly unstable, and if she's going to be up there singing with somebody who's trying to steal all of her thunder every time and is jealous, and you know, and if she does start getting these other offers, I mean, I'm sure there's solo careers with Deacon's company, you know, with other ways she could go as well. So hopefully she wouldn't decide to go with Brad. But yeah. I mean, I could see how she would genuinely be like starting to get a little nervous right now if Gunner's going to be jealous and Will's going to be, you know, but she played a part. I mean, you got to kind of know when you sleep with your bandmate, you know, what you're getting yourself into. So yeah.
And but we saw at the end of the episode, she's the one who went back to Gunner. So yeah. There's on some level, she's interested.
Yeah, and it might just be her protection, too. You know, who knows what happened with her ex, and so maybe this is also part of her just like, no, I'm just going to be free, you know, but maybe deep down. Who knows? We shall see.
Who knows?
All right, another relationship. We have young love, Maddie and Jonah.
Maddie and Jonah. They're cute, but Jonah getting an audition for Richard Linklater. I mean, he's awesome. Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
He's great. Good for, but it leaves an open, you know, opportunity for Twig.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that was coming.
We knew Twig was in love with
definitely
her.
Definitely had feelings for Maddie. It's like, all right, that young love triangle. We've seen him before.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, do you think Maddie has feelings or, like, could potentially reciprocate those feelings towards Twig?
I do feel, and this could be predictions, but we'll go ahead and just do it now. I do feel like she could. I feel like Maddie's at a point she's going to get sick of, you know, all the girls and then him always leaving her. And I feel like in the long run, I don't feel like Jonah's the type of guy that she's going to be with. So I wouldn't be surprised if she did have some feelings. I wouldn't also be surprised if Twig takes it to some level that's kind of creepy.
Right. I was actually worried that Twig, when he was all tweaking out on drugs, that's why you don't do drugs, guys, was the moment where Twig was going to, like, lay one on her. I was like, ooh, something could happen.
Yeah.
And then all this information would get back to Jonah in some way, or, like, Maddie would actually tell Jonah, and then there goes the Twig Jonah relation friendship that they have. So, like, I'm glad it didn't go there, but it definitely set up opportunities for it to go there in the future.
Yeah, it sure did.
I'm worried about it.
And I was actually worried that something was going to happen to him, or some the way they kept, like, getting in his face or something. I thought he was going to freak out and somehow either, like, fall and hit his head, or I don't know. My brain was just going into, like, oh, something bad is going to happen. So I am glad they didn't take it to that there. So
Same.
I liked how Maddie calmed him down and was with him, and you know.
But no, I completely agree, because when we had Maddie and Jonah and Twig, they were in the car and they were going to that concert, and everyone just like completely swarmed them. There was a line where Maddie was like, I can never imagine, or like, I can never deal with this, or whatever she said, something along those lines. So I was like, okay, this is a clear indication that I don't think she's ever going to get used to this type of lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know, and like, she wants to sing and everything, but I think that's on a different, it's not the maniac kind of craziness that
it's not
comes
Justin
along
Bieber
with Jonah.
Crazy.
Right,
it's
right.
It's just like, I'm just a good performer. Crazy fans, crazy unhealthy fans.
Yeah, and I think she's going to get tired of him always kind of, like, leaving her and then trying to make up with it. Like, I'll take you to any country, any, you know, because it's like, that's not what's important. And I don't think that's, you know, what's important to her.
But I'll, like, buy your affection back. Or, forgive me with, you know, all these things that can actually provide you.
Nah, yeah.
That's not love.
Right.
That's
she could go to any country she wants to go to anyway. So it's like, she just wants somebody that's there, actually, to be there for her. So.
Yep. I agreed.
All right, well, this one of my favorite performances of the night. Daphne.
Oh my goodness.
So good.
Amazing. Her voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even put in my notes, like, ridiculous. There's so much emotion, and like, her voice just has awesome texture and sound. It's freaking phenomenal.
I always find myself like, it's crazy because I love like I love her voice now and I love it. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's she going to be like when she's older? Like I jump to that and then I'm like, she's going to be amazing. But I'm like, but I don't want to know yet. She's still so amazing. Like right now at this age, and it's, you know, so it's kind of a fun, like, you just know she's just so good. That voice is just, it just draws your whole, I mean, we were just both sitting there sucked into the TV when she sings,
you and know? She looks so pretty too. I mean, she is pretty, but like on stage when she was just performing in her element, like, girl, she has it. And she's what, 13, 14?
Yeah,
she's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and a great
she
song,
could be bigger,
like, great
than her sister.
Yeah, for sure.
I would actually love if she was bigger than that, her sister. That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she might be. And then we had Jake's performance.
The complete opposite. We kind of knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's not really surprising that the quietest people make the loudest noise.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, especially with that performance. A lot of anger, a lot of real feelings, a lot of animosity towards the family. Or more so towards the father. But we got that.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. Like, I liked the way Deacon completely embraced it, you know, and his mom did too. I love that they were supportive, you know, and they were encouraging, because still it took him guts to get out there and to do that. And I think, yeah, just like Deacon's like, I may not understand it or be the best at that, but it's like, I recognize that that was raw and it took, you know, you dove deep into your feelings. And, you know, I mean, I could definitely see the, like, Eminem type of, know, hang on that. Like,
yeah, I was like, well, listening to it, I was like, this is one angry kid.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he expressed his feelings in somewhat of a healthy way. Maybe not the best place to do it in front of a whole school. But the fact that he expressed it in an artistic way shows that, you know, there's talent there too. But there's problems. I don't know if they're ever really going to address them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, you can just see by the way his, you know, by the way Dick Brad, like, grabs him, you know, by here and just, like,
tenses up.
Yeah, and he just, it makes, my heart just goes out to Jake. It's just, and just how he's just, like, slicing with everything he says, but then, you know, so congratulatory to Daphne, and just like, oh, I just hate, you know, watching that. So I was really glad when Deacon was able to have the moment with him, and they kind of were able to talk man to man. And sweet. Yeah.
I mean, that Deacon, what a great man. Yes. He's a great father, and he's a good father for, like, to other kids, and he's not even his father. I thought that was really, because it just shows how different than Brad and Deacon are, and when Brad was so patronizing and condescending to his own son, I loved how Deacon came up. It's like, no, I understand from an artist's perspective. Yeah. It took a lot of guts and, you know, real, raw emotion. I was like, see, that's what he needed. That's what... Jake needed to hear, not, you know, a backhanded compliment from his father, but actually like an understanding voice more so.
And I like that, you know, Deacon shared about his own father so that they could kind of relate on that level too. It was nice, because I know it's been tough for Jake to kind of warm up to Deacon and, you know, trust him. So I think it was a very good moment for them to share.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was good, because last episode we had a moment with Daphne and Jesse finally, like, coming to terms and getting on some understanding level, and now it's this episode where Deacon and Jake, you know, it's each other's parents to each other's kids, and I really like that. They're really making it work.
Yeah. And speaking of making it work, I like that moment then led to Jesse really being excited and happy about all this, and they just decide to miss the movie and get it on.
We're gonna finally miss the show. Like, yeah, but this was earned.
Yeah,
this was earned. Like, this was a moment where, like, she, in fairness, could probably start falling in love with him. Just because, like, Deacon didn't have to say that to Jake. He's just a good guy, and so I think, yeah, I mean, it was definitely sexy. So why not get it on?
I agree, and I like that. That's how it happened. That it was just kind of a real moment. It wasn't like, let's have a Valentine's Day dinner and then rose petals and or something like that they could have done this week, obviously. So I like that. No, it finally happened after. You know, just a normal day.
It happened organically. Yes. That's what I liked. Yeah.
Me too.
It was earned.
Yay, we're happy.
About
time. Yeah. About time. Woohoo. All right, let's move on to something we're not so happy about. Juliet.
Come on, Juliet. Okay, so, I mean, I gotta give it to Avery for just having the patience. And you can tell he's losing his patience, so yeah. Going all the way down to Bolivia. Like, working out his schedule, he has to drop everything, too. Like, come on, Juliet, what are you doing to
this man? Plus, he's being the dad right now, too.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, he goes out of his way, goes all the way to Bolivia, and then she, like, just the way that she looked and how they, like, she turned around, I was like, did you join a convent or something?
I hated
like,
it.
What situation are you in right now? Like, you guys joked about a cult.
I know.
Like, I'm like, I still don't want to call it a cult because I still think there's some positive things about this therapy place that she's going to. But I did love the moment that she did realize, like, it's about me. You know, like, I'm the problem. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you are the problem.
Yes.
So I'm glad she got to that point of realization. But how I went down, I did not like.
No, yeah. I'm officially done with this. And I am going to call it a cult. Because it's just too creepy. Like, I agree. Early on, I was with you a little bit. I thought some of the points were great. I do agree that it's gotten to the point where she recognizes that she's the problem. Mm-hmm. But at this point, to me, no. And if I'm Avery, if that's my spouse, I am fine with, like, you know, go to therapy, let's figure this out, whatever. But when you just don't come home and then you fly there and you visit and then you still don't want to come, and you, I don't know what you think. I don't know if you think you're going to come back in 6 weeks or a year or 2 weeks, whenever you think, and that you're just going to slide right back in and be the mom and be the, you know, I would have a giant problem with that if that was my
right.
spouse.
I think anyone would. Yeah. I mean, but also just the things that she was saying was so incredibly selfish.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I need to do this. Yeah. I made my decision. I was like, but what about That's... Avery? Does he have a decision in all this? Obviously not.
Yeah.
But then when she's like, you know, Cadence can live with me. I was like, no. In what world is a judge right. going to let that fly?
Right.
And then another thing is, and she's like, well, I'm gonna FaceTime her every day. I was like, nah, girl.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're literally choosing your own self over your family, over your husband, over your daughter.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
That's what was really bothering me about it too, because it's like, so you're supposed to be realizing all this stuff, but you're really just giving in to more of the selfish side of you. Exactly,
so
exactly what you just said. That's what I feel too. And I just feel like, for me, I don't want to see Avery with her anymore. I'm done. Like, this finally took to season six, this one. But I want him to move on. I want him to be, he's done this for so long. And I just feel like he's going to completely lose himself if he just doesn't get away from this at this point. I find it to be, I mean, I love what he did, because I think that's what you do in love. You take it to the end. You know, mm-hmm. you do the best you can. You don't just give up right away. But I feel like he's fulfilled every, like, obligation, every chance, everything. And I just don't feel like he's getting anything ever back.
I agree. And you know, like, we've been rooting for Avery and Juliet for so long. But after this moment, I was like, you know what? Avery, you're too good for her. Like, you really, as much as I want this to work, and I really do love doomed relationships, like, no, you gotta let her go.
Yeah, I mean, because how hard...
Because she already let you go.
She did. And, like, how hard is it to just say, okay, and I can give her 100% if she was still struggling, saying, really going through these breakdowns and dealing with the trauma that she's been through, and then if she just called and was like, you know, I'm so sorry, but I can't yet. I'm not there yet. You know, mm-hmm. that's different to me than just shutting somebody out, not returning his calls, not, you know, leaving him to wonder, is she dead? He didn't know. He didn't know what this guy could have done to her. He takes her to another country and, like, she could have been dead. You
I just
know?
Wanted
like,
to slap that receptionist.
I know.
Like, are you kidding me? This is her husband.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, like, you can. You need an appointment. She can call you whenever she wants. Like, girl. Come on. There were just so many factors that just, like, built up to so much frustration watching them too. But yeah, I think it's time to let this one go.
Yep. Me too.
It needs to. It's a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
It's gotten bad.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah. And even, like, when they left and she's still just, like, sitting there, that's what's all just so cultish to me. Like, it's one, yeah, again, I think a regular therapist, you wouldn't be like sitting there like that and be like,
she looked like, you know, she was like, in a convent. I mean, nothing wrong with, like, people in a convent, but, like, what are you, she's choosing self-exile to be away from people. Yeah. Like, yeah. Something's going on. Yeah. So.
All right, well, we agree on that one. Okay, anything else from the episode?
Oh, my goodness. A lot of drama. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's good because it sets us up for next week.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and get into some predictions then.
Do let's. Ah, okay. And now, your AfterBuzz
TV predictions. What you think?
Oh, okay. So, Will's definitely, when at the end of this episode, when he was working out, looked like he was going to have a heart attack or something, or his heart. I think Will's going to have an actual moment where his body, like, gives up on him. Like, it could be heart failure or something, or whatever the effects steroids and other drugs, Lord knows what he's mixing it with, can do to a body. So we're going to have a breakdown intervention soon, I hope, because it's obviously already affecting the band. His roid rage, it's not good. We get Scarlett back next episode with the horse and equestrians. I do like the Sean story. I don't know where it's going to go, though. But Juliet, here's my long prediction for Juliet. At the end of this season and series, Juliet's going to wind up completely alone because she brought it on herself. At the beginning of the complete show, like, pilot, she had everything. She had talent, she had record labels, she had music, she had fans, she had everything. And then at the end of the show, she's going to literally have nothing but herself. She's going to be alone, and it's going to be sad. But it's that's the life she lived. That's the life she chose. It's depressing, but it's true.
I think you're right. Let me see if I have anything to add to that. Yeah, because I definitely agree with Will, too. I think we're definitely going to see with his heart next week.
I'll have a Daphne with the next country star.
Oh.
Do you think anything is going to come about that?
I do, actually. I think she's going to... I do. I think she's going to sneak away and audition.
Deacon's going to find out, though. Yep, because if Brad's a producer on it...
Yeah.
Nah, it's not going to be good.
I think that's what's going to happen, though. I think she's going to... And I think she's going to stay in it for a while. So I think we're going to see a big, like, face-off with Brad and Deacon at some point. And I kind of feel like they're sprinkling him in, like, on us a little bit. Especially now that he's kind of got Alana and different. So I have a feeling it's all just going to kind of... Yeah. That's going to, build towards the end of the season.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, but I think it's going to have to... That's going to be kind of Daphne's final. Because she's been struggling with finding her place in all of this. And even our song was about, not really having her place and stuff, too. So I think that she is going to go for this. And then that might be the big fight. But then towards long run, at the end of the season, she's going to come back around and end up, of course, letting Deacon eventually do her, manage her career.
I agree.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have for tonight.
That's it.
Okay. So where can everybody follow you at?
Everyone can follow me on Twitter everywhere at Serafini TV.
And you can follow me at JJ Jorgens. You can also follow me at Tom Girl TV and a show here on Tuesday nights at 6 that we do called Tom Girl. I'd love to get you guys to watch. All right. That's it. So thank you guys. Let us know what you're thinking throughout the week. And we'll see you here again next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz y'all later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.